there. Welcome to the Spot Doctor Podcast. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Today we're talking about women's health, hormones, and skin. My guest is known as Dr. Zen, and she is a naturopathic physician and owner of NMD Wellness of Scottsdale. Originally from Geneva, Switzerland, Dr. Zen believes in the importance of treating her patients by finding the root cause of disease. She uses the power of integrative medicine to optimize health naturally. Dr. Zen specializes in women's health and bioidentical hormone replacement therapies. She's been featured as an expert in natural medicine in publications like Shape Magazine, Elite Daily, and Derm Store. In today's interview, we talk about how hormonal changes impact our health as women and our skin, and how to address symptoms of hormonal imbalances naturally. We discuss healthy lifestyle practices that are key, and we also cover bioidentical hormones, what they are, how they work, and how they can be used safely and effectively. I know there are a lot of questions and myths out there about bioidentical hormones, so we cover and bust those myths in this interview. So please enjoy. All right, Dr. Zen, it's so great to have you on my podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, so you're known as the Dr. Zen.
Yes.
So how did that come about?
So my full last name is Zenhausern, which is a mouthful. and so I was like, okay, what's an easier way to go? My dad's a doctor, and so he goes by Dr. Z. And I was like, well, what would be a better option? So Dr. Zen was just perfect. It goes with my practice. So I'm a naturopathic doctor. So it's just easy. And yeah, so it's been really fun to use that name. A lot of people love it.
Of course. And we're talking about hormones today and balancing hormones. And certainly I know with seeing my own patients and hormones myself is that when your hormones are balanced, you're healthier, you have more wellness, and you're technically more a bit more zen, right?
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's start with talking about what role hormones play in the skin. What do you notice in your practice with hormones and skin?
Yes. So first, some people don't know what hormones do really in the body. So they're really chemical messengers that are released from different organs. So that can be your ovaries, your adrenal glands, your thyroid, and then gonads in men. And as we age, the production of those hormones declines. So hormones can start declining as early as in our 30s, but it's really when we hit that menopausal age around 50 that it kind of dramatically decreases and is oftentimes why we get symptoms. So it's really important to kind of know more about hormones and how it affects our skin. When it comes to skin and hormones, hormones are a huge component of how your skin looks. So estrogen, for example, plays a major role in the production of collagen and elastin in your skin. And with menopause, for example, we often see the skin start to thin out. You lose that elasticity, and that creates the formation of, you know, wrinkles. So none of the things that we like to talk about, but it's true. So that's why it's really important to make sure that you are balancing your hormones, because that can have a major effect on your skin.
Right. And of course, the point of us talking about this is not to make people feel depressed.
No.
The point is that we do have tools to help us. And I know that I've heard people say, well, isn't it just natural for you just to let your hormones decrease and disappear and just kind of let nature take its course? And I mean, my feeling is, and I'm guessing you feel the same way, is that we're living longer now. So we want to continue to look as good as we feel, right? And to feel as good as we can as we get older, right? And so having some support, doing some, you know, what my friend Dave Asprey calls biohacking, right? and those sorts of things, it's, you know, it's okay to do some of that to help us
help us feel and look our best as we continue to get older, because we want to stay a part of our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives, our friends and family. We want to enjoy this, and we want to enjoy it to the best, right? So there are some things that we can do to help balance our hormones and to keep them, keep our ovaries acting and continuing to work a little bit longer and get the most out of them. And also when they do stop working, there are some things that we can do to help continue the benefits of hormones, right? So we're going to be talking about all of that today. First, so the foundation though of health is so important to help with hormone balance. Explain to everybody why that is.
So it's really important. Let's talk about hormones for a second when it comes to your skin. So estrogen, progesterone, testosterone all affect, you know, internal body and external body as well. When it comes to, you know, working on hormones, it isn't just about the way we look on the outside, but there's a lot of benefits and protection that hormones hold. They protect your bones, protect your breast. So a lot of that is really important to kind of look at as well. The skin is a big part, but it's also the things that are going on inside. And then the life expectancy, like you mentioned, is increasing. So women, you know, are living longer. So that means that they're more in this hormone deprived state for longer, which it, you know, comes with its own advantages and disadvantages that are important to kind of look at. So that's kind of why, you know, hormone balancing has really, you know, kind of been a new trend, is because we're living longer. And so there's more things to kind of look at. So it's really important to kind of get the whole picture. And like, you know, as a naturopathic doctor, it's really important to look at the whole picture. That's lifestyle, environment, you know, hormone balancing, you know, the foods you're eating, the, you know, makeup you're using or the chemicals you're using. So that all plays in, you know, a big role in hormone balancing.
Yes, absolutely. And so I know we're going to talk some about bioidentical hormones, hormone therapy today. And I know that we are on the same page with this, that bioidentical hormones can be a tool for people to use. I think one of the ways that people can go wrong with it is if they use it too soon and too quickly and too much. And I think one of the big things is that we want to have incorporate a healthy lifestyle. We want to make sure we're addressing other root causes. We want to make sure we're just, you know, doing everything we can to support the body before or in addition to any kind of hormone therapy. So, and what would you say about that? What do you find in your practice?
Yeah, so I'm on the same page as you. I usually never start with bioidentical hormones first. I try to find more natural ways first. So phytoestrogens are a good example. You can find those in plants. So phytoestrogens in plants, they can be found in almonds, broccoli, apples, tempeh, and tofu. And so what happens is as we've developed and as we've evolved, just like plants, we've actually been able to, our liver's able to metabolize phytoestrogens and use them as estrogen-like receptors in the receptors that we have in our own body. So it's really nice to use natural forms like phytoestrogen. So plant sources are somewhere where I start a lot of times with patients. Bioidentical hormones typically bind to the alpha receptor of an estrogen receptor versus phytoestrogens bind to the beta receptor. So that's one thing that I really like to use. Herbs are another one. They have phytoestrogens as well. They have a higher concentration typically than foods do. One of the main herbs is maca. So if you haven't watched the interview with James on maca, you should definitely check it out, because there's more information on, you know, the different forms of maca and how it relates to hormones. So that's a really good one. Black cohosh is another one. But just like anything, it's important to kind of have a physician kind of watch what you're doing, because, you know, depending on your history too, hormones might not be in your favor. If you've had hormone sensitive cancers, like breast cancers, you know, making sure your estrogen and testosterone and all your levels are in the right range is going to be really, really important. So it kind of depends on what you do, but there's lots of different ways, and bioidentical hormones are not the only one.
Right. Okay, great. So, but let's talk about bioidentical hormones. And I think it's important too to differentiate. There's HRT or hormone replacement therapy, and then there's bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. So explain to everybody what the difference is.
Sure. So bioidentical hormones, so that means that they're using hormones or bioidentical hormones that match that of the body. So it's going to contain the same three-dimensional structure that your body naturally has. They're produced by a lab, and they are derived from naturally occurring plant products. Hormone replacement, which was infamously like Premro and Premarin, they didn't come from plant products, and they actually came from urine of a pregnant mare. So those used to be considered bioidentical, but they were bioidentical if you were eating hay and grass and you were a horse. Right. So yeah. So that's where a lot of problems arose with that treatment. It was one of the most prescribed hormone replacement therapies. However, it didn't match our body's three-dimensional structure. So our body didn't know how to react with it. So sometimes there were side effects and major complications with that. So I try to urge, you know, patients that they really understand the difference and know that we're doing a much safer treatment. But even that being said, it's important to be monitored correctly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that there is a big scare still, and it's been years since the Women's Health Initiative study, the WHI study. Yeah. And that was, as you know, it was a very large study that showed some concerns, and people started being concerned about hormone replacement therapy and risk associated with that. But that was a while ago, and a lot has changed since then, and the availability of bioidentical hormones. So anything you wanted to say about that study and what we know, what we've learned in the research since that time?
Yeah, so we've learned a lot. So it's just, I think of hormones kind of like a key and a lock. It's really important to have the right key to turn to lock. So when it comes to bioidentical hormones, making sure that it's really identical to what the body typically uses, your body already knows how to produce hormones. So we need to make sure that we're staying in line with that. And then in bioidentical hormones, there's different types as well. So there's some that are FDA approved and manufactured by large drug companies. But one of the disadvantages is they're kind of a one size fits all. You can't change the dosing as much. But for some patients, that works really well. Other bioidentical hormones can be made by specialty labs called compounding pharmacies. And that allows us to prepare formulations for individual cases. So I personally, in my practice, use compounding pharmacies. It allows me to have a little more, you know, freedom when it comes to hormones and which ones I want more of or less of. So that's really important. But in saying that, you have to make sure you're being seen by a physician who really knows what they're doing, because it isn't standardized. So it needs to be done correctly. So that's really, really important.
It is. Yeah, you've definitely brought up some great points there. And I am so thankful for my local compounding pharmacy. Alpine Apothecary is the one here in Park City that I love. And it's so nice, because as women are going through transitions, especially perimenopausal, there are so many changes that are happening. And every woman is different in how they respond to bioidentical hormones, and symptoms are different. So the management of all of those things can be individualized really beautifully with using a compounding pharmacy. So it's great that we have that, and certainly advocate as much as I can for compounding pharmacies, because they allow us naturopathic physicians and other functional medicine doctors and that do a lot with bioidentical hormones to be able to really customize. So I appreciate that. And again, so if and what you just mentioned, it is important. So people can, if you're listening, watching, you want to look, if you're looking for somebody, look for a naturopathic physician or functional medicine doctor who specializes in bioidentical hormone therapy. And usually, you know, they should say that on their website. They should have some sort of, you know, experience with that. So, because not everybody knows how to really dose and to monitor and do this, because the benefits can be tremendous. And I've seen it a lot in my practices, as I'm seeing, I'm sure you've seen in yours. So what are the kinds of things that you help women with? What are the kind of benefits that they can get from these kinds of treatments?
Yeah, so a lot of women sometimes think of the basics when it comes to menopausal symptoms, so hot flashes, night sweats, insomnia, and maybe fatigue. there's like a whole host of other symptoms that are related to menopause that maybe some people don't really want to talk about or don't think about. So vaginal dryness, memory fog, another one, decreased libido. Another one that I often tell patients about that they don't even know about is urinary tract infection. So lower estrogen levels can actually change the urinary tract and make you more susceptible to infection. So that can be also a symptom of menopause. Digestive disorders, hormonal imbalances can disrupt the transit of food in your gut. So a lot of times patients will come in and they'll say, you know, I could eat everything I wanted in my 20s or 30s. Why am I having issues now? So part of that can be hormones. So that's why it's really important to have that whole picture approach. Irregular heart rates or heartbeats is another one I see often, which, you know, often people don't really talk about. So estrogen deficiencies can actually overstimulate your nervous system and your circulatory system, leading to this irregular heartbeat. So that's another one. And then skin. So patients will come in and they'll have, you know, brittle nails, like decreased skin elasticity. That skin is just getting really loose, dryness and itchiness, more wrinkles, and then the collagen is starting to leave their skin. So these are some of the symptoms that, you know, I've really seen major benefit with bioidentical hormones when it's done correctly, that is. So it's really important to know what you're doing.
Right, of course. And you know what's interesting too is that I think a lot of times people think, oh, I don't have to worry about that until I'm 50. But actually changes start to happen for women in their 30s. And so even, you know, mid-30s, a lot of times I'll see women, what I start noticing is increases in like PMS symptoms, extreme changes in irritability, also insomnia, difficulty sleeping, changes in menstrual cycle, you know, vaginal dryness, sex drive. Those are some of the things that you see early that people oftentimes, and I don't want to say, hey, you're 35, you're going through menopause. No, there is a, you know, change that happens over time. It's not like one day you woke up and your period stopped and you're 50. You know, it's so different for everybody. And for some women, that's the case. Like one day they wake up, they don't, you know, like, oh gosh, it's been a year since I haven't had a period and I'm not having any symptoms. That is the minority of people, of women. But and there's everything in between. So I think it's important for women to realize how much our hormones play a role in our health, and that we don't have to just suffer through. Because I see this happen in my practice where women will come and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to rip my husband's head off. I'm so sick of my kids and, you know, and I can't sleep at night. And what is wrong with me? I think, they've been told they need to be on an antidepressant. And really what it is their hormones. And I want to say, I know people here, we're talking about a lot of symptoms that can have other root causes. So hormonal imbalances is one thing, but it is a big one. And there are a lot of different ways that you can balance hormones, and bioidentical hormone therapy is one of what I consider to be one of the most, biggest changes that you see when you put someone on, I put patients on bioidentical hormones, like all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I don't want to rip my husband's head off anymore. And my kids are delightful. And I'm sleeping at night and I actually want to have sex with my husband and all the things that I never thought were going to happen again. And I didn't have to take antidepressants. At the same time, there are those occasions where someone might want to get emotional support and talk to a psychiatrist or psychologist. I'm not downplaying that, but what are any other thoughts on these kind of signs that it's not the typical menopausal symptoms, right?
Yep. So anxiety, you bring up a really good point. So decreased estrogen can actually lower the production of neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin, which play a major role in mood regulation. So a lot of times if patients are just being put on an antidepressant, they're not actually getting to the root cause of what's actually the issue. So I see that one a lot too. It definitely, putting patients on bioidentical hormones when it's right for them, can change their life like crazy. It's amazing.
Okay. All right. So now this is the part that I don't really like talking about. What are the concerns? about bioidentical hormones. Are there things people should be concerned about? I mean, certainly we have seen warning signs with the old style hormone replacement therapy from, and there were concerns about people who talk about breast cancer, heart disease, and those being a big concern. So what about with bioidentical hormones, would you say that people need to be cautious about?
Yeah. So bioidentical hormones are still hormones, right? So they can affect your body in many different ways. So getting the right monitoring is really, really important. So I'm really, you know, a little bit more conservative when it comes to when I treat patients. Typically, if we're starting bioidentical hormones, they get all of their blood work done. And part of that is really important. It's not just checking their hormones. It's checking their cholesterol, checking their red blood cells. We really want a better picture of what's really going on. That's a huge part of it. And then what I typically do is patients will start treatment for about 6 weeks. And then after 6 weeks, we check their blood again. And I might be a little bit crazy by doing it so often, but for me, I feel comfortable that way. That way we can make sure not only are they not getting side effects, but that their levels aren't, you know, going crazy. Sometimes patients have been dealing with hot flashes, night sweats, you know, symptoms for so long that the minute they feel better, they're like, oh, it's fine. Let's just keep going. But we really need to make sure that the levels are correct. So part of that is, you know, breast cancers can be sensitive to hormones. So if you're giving too much of a hormone or too much of a good thing, that can be an issue. So really making sure your levels are in the right ranges is going to be really important. So that's really an important aspect of treatment and making sure that your doctor's really checking you out. If you're getting hormones and then they're like, okay, well, we'll see you in a year from now, I would say, well, maybe go see someone else, get a second opinion, make sure that you're being monitored, because that's going to be the biggest way to prevent any side effects.
Right. And getting checkups and getting well woman exams and PAPs and, okay, and breast exams and all that kind of stuff is still going to be an important thing. I think it is for anyone, but, yeah, but it, and it doesn't change with doing bioidentical hormones. Mm-hmm. And, so I think it's great to talk about this, like, because I think there is this balance of realizing that it, like you said, there's still hormones and we're supplementing the body with hormones. So we want to be mindful of what's happening and testing and following up and monitoring. And so because I get disturbed when I hear how somebody orders some sort of cream online.
Yes.
They're saying, oh, I'm getting my hormones on this website. And I cringe a little bit because
yeah, me too.
We don't know, because if you're buying something online and it's not through a compounding pharmacy, if it's not a prescription, they can't actually put on there how much of the hormone you're getting. They can't put that on the label. So you don't know how much you're getting, and it's really hard to monitor. So whenever I have patients come in that have been doing that, I have them stop that right away, because it's so hard for me to monitor and know exactly what they're getting. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also really important to know, by using a compounding pharmacy, like, you know, you can do different forms of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. People think, okay, it's only creams or it's an injection, but there's troches and lozenges and capsules and everything. So there's different options for different patients. So making sure that you're not just getting it off of Amazon or, you know, on the internet, kind of, yes, it scares me as well.
Okay, and I know you just are now diving into something that can get really complicated, but I know people are wondering, okay, what the heck is a troche? And why are there all these different forms? Why doesn't everybody just use creams? Or why doesn't everybody just take a pill? So when would you explain when you would use each?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the patient. So typically I'm someone who doesn't really like topical treatments for hormones. Although they say, okay, every time you wash your hands before and after you use it, there's still been some studies that show that you're still able to pass those things on to those around you. So whether it's your children or your husband, probably doesn't want that extra estrogen, or you might be getting his testosterone. So I don't like creams, you know, often. Vaginal creams can be sometimes a little bit easier to work with. So it really depends on the patient. Patches can be another option. So I like to separate my hormones. So patients will get their testosterone, progesterone, and estrogen in three different forms. So that way, if, you know, their testosterone's off or progesterone, we can up or change the doses accordingly. Sometimes patients will get from a compounding pharmacies all of their bioidentical hormones in one capsule that they take once a day. I don't like doing that because that way it's really hard to kind of change what needs to be changed for them. But that's always an option. There's pellets, hormonal pellets is another one. That one is actually inserted in the glute and they last 3 months. So some patients say it's amazing and it works really well. I never start with hormonal pellets with patients when they've never had hormones before, because the problem with pellets is they stay in your system for 3 months. So let's say the dose is wrong and your testosterone's kind of high and your hair starts falling out. Well, I can't do anything about it until they, you know, are absorbed. So there's many different ways of doing it. So really safety is going to be the biggest part and finding what's right for you.
Right. And I know, yeah. So pellets are actually inserted under the skin. Yeah. I know I've heard people say, really? People put these under their skin? Yeah. And then, so the nice thing about that is you don't have to worry about taking something every day or applying a cream every day. But the concern is, and I have heard this from patients, because I don't do pellets, but I don't generally do them. But what I've heard from other patients is that when they're first put in, they can get kind of a little bit of a surge because they're new. And then over time, they're not working quite as much too. So that's one of the downsides. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens actually a lot. Sometimes it, you know, your body doesn't have a way of releasing it all, you know, equally throughout those 3 months. So sometimes you get that surge and so they feel great and then they don't feel good for 2 months. So it's kind of a harder one. I don't do them either just because I've kind of seen the backlash in them, but there's benefits some patients do really well.
I agree. And this is why it's important to see someone who specializes in this, because it's such a customized thing. Because for some people, they won't remember doing the creams every day or taking a pill. They just won't. And that's really a problem, because you want to keep a constant, constantly getting these hormones on an ongoing basis. If you're using creams or doing them orally, the various hormones, you know, they're a little bit different depending upon the hormone, but it's kind of consistency is key to get the desired outcome. So for some people, getting the pellet is probably the best way to go. But seeing a practitioner that specializes in this is going to help you figure that out. I think vaginal creams, personally, I think those are great from what I found for my patients. Yep. They seem to be great. And then sometimes capsules or troches, it just depends on what people's needs are and what their symptoms are. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And it depends. Are you really active? I have a patient recently who was, you know, telling me she goes and swims every day. So like a transdermal patch that you wear on your skin is probably not going to be the best way for her. So for her, we chose troches, which are actually, you place them in your mouth between your teeth and your cheek, and they're dissolved that way. So that's kind of a cool, you know, other option that's really helpful too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know some people like those, and then you know the compounding pharmacy can make sure that they taste good and all that kind of good stuff. The other great thing that I personally know, so with compounding pharmacies, personally, when I say that, I mean my patients, is that I've got a lot of patients with sensitive skin. And so when we're talking about applying creams, they might react to different bases. So when you have a compounding pharmacy, a good one, then they can use different bases that you're not going to have a reaction to on the surface of your skin. So, or same kind of thing with a troche, they might be able, if you don't like the taste or flavor or the sweetness of something, they can sometimes modify that depending upon the compounding pharmacy. So now you talked about there's estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Those are the sex hormones that are typically given with bioidentical hormone therapy for perimenopausal kind of symptoms like we've been talking about. And I know we only have a few minutes left here, but anything you want to talk about as far as the different forms of those or anything else on those?
Yeah, so it's going to kind of depend on your hormonal picture, obviously. There's testosterone cypionate that's really good. There's 17 beta estrogens, there's estradiol, estrones. So it's really going to depend on what your specific picture is. But there are, you know, specific ones for your specific needs. So that's why I always, when I do hormones, it's important to check, you know, every step of hormones, not the end products, just, you know, testosterone, progesterone, and estrogen, but how's your DHE, and then how's your DHT and all of that, because those all can be related. So it's really important to kind of see the whole picture.
Absolutely. And we're just touching on a few hormones here. We could keep going into adrenals and thyroid but that's a whole other podcast, right? But we wanted to be focused today in talking about these. And so I think it's great that we're talking about this. And again, I want to bring back this whole picture thing of it's your whole lifestyle. So, you know, my book, in Clean Skin From Within, I talk about clean plate, clean slate, clean body, clean mind. And all of these play into hormone balances, because the foods you eat, the personal care products you use on your body, if they have hormone disrupting chemicals, that could further throw off your hormones. If you're not getting stress management exercise practices, you could be throwing off your adrenals, and your stress response can then throw off your sex hormones there too. And then of course, with other exposure to toxins, environmental disrupting chemicals in the environment, and food, water, air, home products, all of that plays a role, right? So we want to make sure it's his daily lifestyle practices that helps us with hormone balance.
Yeah, it's really, really important. So I love using the Environmental Workers Group, so EWG.org. They have awesome information and handouts on different aspects of health. One of them is they have a huge list of all the hormone disrupting chemicals that are typically found in, you know, cosmetics. So a typical average woman, American woman, is using about 12 products, which contain over 160 chemicals every morning. Some of those have been found to be hormone disruptors, which means they can off balance your hormones and trigger side effects like weight gain, mood swings, anxiety. So some of those things are really important to avoid. I have a list on my website, you know, with the link to it, or you can go to the Environmental Workers Group to get your little list. It's really important because they really advocate for, you know, good, clean products. Unfortunately, the U.S. doesn't really regulate or truly test all of their products. Most countries have eliminated, you know, hundreds of ingredients in personal care products. The FDA has only eliminated 11.
Yeah. And this is partly why I created the Spot Doctor skincare products. And I love Environmental Working Group. In fact, the Spot Doctor skincare products are EWG verified. Their stringent process of making sure that they're clean of these harmful chemicals that we've been talking about. And so EWG.org/skindeep is that website. And I think that's a great resource. And while you're there, you can see the Spot Doctor skincare products and their EWG verified. So Dr. Zen, I really appreciate you coming on today. Thank you so much. Tell everybody where they can find you. And also, I'm sure people are going to be asking, can people see you virtually, remotely, or do they have to come down to Arizona to see you?
Yeah, so I actually do a lot of telemedicine. So that means I can see you from pretty much anywhere. And when it comes to hormones, a lot of women want to get their hormones checked. I can actually have labs sent directly to you. We can find a lab near you to get your blood drawn. And then we just meet face to face like this. And so it's really, really helpful. So that's an awesome way to, you know, if you have any questions or anything like that, that's a great way. You can go to my website at nmdwellnessofscottsdale.com to book appointments, see more about me, learn more about, you know, some of the blogging that I'm doing about some of these topics. So that's a great way. Or I'm pretty much on Instagram every day, you know, telling you a little bit about me and, you know, behind the scenes of being a doctor. So you can find me at Dr. Zen NMD.
Great. All right. Thanks again for coming on and share your information today.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Zen, and I hoped you understand more about how hormones play a role in women's health and skin, especially as we age, and also understanding more about bioidentical hormones and how they can fit into a natural treatment plan with your functional medicine or naturopathic doctor. So to learn more about Dr. Zen, you can go to thespotdoctor.com, go to the podcast page with our interview, and you'll find all the information there. And while you're there, I invite invite you to join the Spa Doctor community so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. If you haven't already taken the skin quiz, I encourage you to go to theskinquiz.com. It takes just a few moments of free online quiz. It'll give you information about what your skin might be trying to tell you about your health. Maybe hormonal imbalances are part of one of the big root causes, and taking the skin quiz is a great way to find out. Just go to theskinquiz.com. Also, I invite you to join me on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and join the conversation. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor Podcast.